Home battery backup is stored electricity you charge in advance and draw from when the grid goes down, sized to the loads your household actually needs to run. The outcome is knowing, before the lights go out, exactly what your battery will power and for how long, instead of hoping it lasts. Get the size right and a blackout becomes a quiet evening rather than a countdown. Choosing a battery as part of your home backup power plan is a strong move, and not a cheap one, so the first real step is knowing how much capacity you actually need. Whether you are just getting prepared and want a small station to carry the phones and a lamp through the night, or you are working toward renewable power that refills itself, the right size is the one match to your loads and your timeline. Start by measuring what you need to keep running and for how long, because those two numbers, turned into watt hours, size the whole system. A weekend spent adding up your loads is what turns a vague want for home battery backup into a capacity you can actually buy. Size your home battery backup in watt hours. Sizing a home battery backup comes down to one unit, the watt hour, and once you speak it, the guesswork disappears. A watt hour is simply a watt drawn for an hour, so a 60 watt load running for 10 hours spends 600 watt hours. Add up the watt hours your household needs across the time you want to cover, and you have the capacity to shop for. Add up your watt hours. List the loads you truly need and note the watts each one draws, the same short must-run list that carries any outage, a few lights, the phone chargers, the internet router, and the refrigerator. Multiply each load's watts by the hours a day it runs, then add them for a daily watt-hour figure. A fridge that averages 100 watts across the day is about 2,400 watt-hours on its own, while a dozen LED bulbs and a router barely add a few hundred more. You can find a load's watts on its nameplate label, in its manual, or with an inexpensive plug-in meter that reads real draw, which is worth doing for the fridge since its average runs well below its peak. Write the daily watt-hour total on the same card as your load list, so when you compare a 1,000 and a 3,000 watt-hour station you already know which one clears your day. Match the capacity to your timeline. Multiply your daily watt-hours by the days you want to cover, and the outages you actually face set the number. A down line or a summer storm is the everyday case, a power outage usually back within one day, so a single day of stored power is a getting prepared move that covers it. A hurricane or an ice storm can leave you 3 days or more in the dark. And the rare long ones, a grid failure or a solar flare that rattles the grid, can stretch a week or beyond, which for power is the marker where a home battery backup handles nearly everything a household needs, what we consider sufficiently prepared. Past a week, storing battery alone gets heavy and expensive, which is the point where refilling it matters more than enlarging it. If you want your battery back to meet fully prepared status, it needs to be renewable and regenerate itself. In that case, attaching solar panels is the sustainable option. Leave room for real-world losses. Size up from your bare number, because a battery never delivers every watt-hour on its label. The inverter that turns stored power into wall current loses a slice in the conversion, and cold weather trims capacity on top of that. Running a lithium battery all the way to empty also shortens its life, so plan to use about 80% of the rating. A comfortable margin is the difference between a battery that covers your day on paper and one that covers it in a cold garage in February. What a home battery backup actually runs? Capacity on a spec sheet means little until you translate it into your own appliances, so match the watt hours to the loads you pictured. A portable power station, the most common form of home battery backup, carries two kinds of loads very differently. The steady small ones it runs for a long time, and the heavy ones test its limits, so knowing which is which keeps you from buying short. The steady loads IT carries easily. Lights, phones, a laptop, the internet router, and a CPAP machine are gentle, low-watt loads that a modest station runs for many hours. A 1,000-watt-hour unit keeps a phone, a lamp, and the router alive well past a full day, and it runs a medical device like a CPAP through the night without strain. For an urban prepper with a single room to power and no place to run a generator, a station this size quietly covers the outages a city delivers. The heavy loads that need a bigger unit: a refrigerator, a space heater, a window air conditioner, or a well pump draws real power, and two numbers decide whether your battery can feed them. The running watts are what the load pulls steadily, but the surge watts are the spike it demands at startup, and a motor like a fridge or a pump can jump to several times its running draw for a moment. Match both the battery's continuous output and its surge rating to your heaviest load, or the station trips the instant the compressor kicks on. A suburban household that wants the fridge, some lights, and a furnace fan usually lands in the 2,000 to 3,000 watt-hour range with a strong surge rating. The loads a battery should not chase. Some loads are the wrong job for a battery, and naming them saves you money. An electric range, a central air conditioner, an electric water heater, and a clothes dryer pull thousands of watts for as long as they run, and covering them from storage means a battery so large it stops being portable. Leave those to a generator or to the grid, and size your home battery backup for the essentials that keep a household safe, fed, and calm. Runtime in plain terms. Runtime is just capacity divided by draw, so the same battery lasts very different lengths depending on what you plug in. A 2000 watt-hour station runs a 50 watt string of lights for the better part of 2 days, or a 700 watt fridge cycling on and off for most of a day, or a 1500 watt heater for barely an hour. Cycling loads, running the fridge only a few hours at a time or the heater in short bursts, stretches those hours the way rationing stretches any reserve. Reading a battery this way, in hours per load rather than one headline number, is what lets you promise yourself a real outcome instead of a marketing figure. Recharge is what turns storage into sustainable power. A battery is a reserve, and every reserve empties, so the plan is only finished when you decide how it refills. This is the step that separates a stack of stored power from a home battery backup you can lean on through a long outage, and it is the rung where stored power stops draining toward zero. Top off before the storm. Charge the battery full from the wall whenever weather is coming, because a station is only worth its rating if it is full when the grid drops. Keep it topped up on a shelf between events, since lithium batteries hold a charge for months, and treat the incoming forecast as your cue to bring it to 100%. A full battery on the morning of a storm is the cheapest capacity you will ever add. When the sun is thin, a station also refills from a car outlet on a drive or from a generator in about an hour, so the battery becomes the quiet indoor half of a louder outdoor source. Pair IT with solar to refill itself. Add solar panels and the battery that used to drain toward empty starts climbing back every sunny hour, which is the move that makes stored power renewable. A power station paired with panels is what many sellers call a solar generator, and it is the honest path to the top rung, renewable power for the essentials, where a grid down, https://www.prepper.life/glossary/grid-down, stretch stops mattering because the sun replaces what you spend each day. This is where a household crosses from surviving an outage on a fixed reserve to being off-grid, https://www.prepper.life/glossary/off-grid, capable for the loads that matter. Know the sun math. Sizing panels is the same watt-hour arithmetic run backward. A 200-watt panel in 5 good sun hours returns roughly 1,000 watt-hours to the battery, minus a little for clouds and angle. Match your panel wattage to what you spend in a day and you can hold a battery near full for as long as the sun keeps coming, while too little panel only slows the drain. Panels also let you run through a cloudy week at a slower drain instead of a hard stop, which is often the difference between reaching the end of an outage and going dark before it lifts. A rural, https://www.prepper.life/type/rural-prepper, household planning for the long restoration times at the end of a long line leans hardest on this, since panels turn a fixed reserve into a supply that outlasts the storm. Match your home battery backup to your stage. Putting it together means sizing not to a product but to where you stand on the climb from prepared to sustainable. The same watt-hour math lands in a different place for each household, so find your rung and buy to it rather than to a review's favorite. Getting prepared, a day in a small station. Start with a station that carries your must-run loads through a single overnight, the common outage almost every home meets. 1,000 watt-hours or so keeps the phones, a lamp, the router, and a medical device alive until morning, and it asks nothing of you but a charge before the storm. A capable station at this size is the least expensive rung on the ladder and the one most households should own before anything else, since it turns the most common outage into a non-event. Sufficiently prepared, a week of storage. Grow the capacity, or add a second unit, until you can cover the loads that matter for about a week, the marker where a home battery backup handles nearly every outage a household will face. If you can keep the fridge cold, the room lit, and the phones charged for a week without the grid, congratulations, you are what we consider sufficiently prepared for power, since a week sits at the top of the common outage timelines. Many stations accept add-on battery modules, so you can start at a day and grow toward a week without rebuying, which makes this rung something you climb rather than buy all at once. Fully prepared, storage that refills. Cross into fully prepared by pairing your storage with solar, so the essentials renew themselves no matter how long the grid stays down. At this rung the question changes from how many days you have stored to how much you can generate and replace, and the battery becomes the buffer between a sunny afternoon and a dark night. A household that leans off grid lives here, holding the lights and the well pump on sun and storage together. Where this hands off. Storage is one half of the power question, and the other half is which source fills it, whether a battery alone earns its place over a generator or a mix of both. Working out that choice, along with the fuel and the carbon monoxide safety a generator brings, is its own decision worth making before you spend. A household still weighing a station against a generator gets further starting from the backup power decision and then coming back to size the battery it lands on, folding the finished unit into a ready power outage kit. Conclusion: home battery backup stops being a guess the moment you size it in watt hours. Add up the loads you need, multiply by the hours and the days you want to cover, add a margin for real-world losses, and the right capacity picks itself. A single day in a small station is getting prepared, about a week of storage is sufficiently prepared, and pairing that storage with solar so it refills is the sustainable top. Keep it full before the weather turns, read it in hours per load rather than a headline number, and your battery will power exactly what you counted on for exactly as long as you planned.